Well, let's open together now in the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, and in particular today looking at the last section of that chapter from verse 18. The subject is set before us in verse 18 and then expounded and developed in the following verses, the subject being servants. Be submissive to your masters. Tomorrow, we'll look around and many of us will be going off to work, to the office. Perhaps some, not quite tomorrow, but very soon. Perhaps working at home a little. Our children, our young people will be going back to school or college, to their work before long. Perhaps if you are a leader in your field, you are still also going to be subject to the whims and the will of others. You serve clients. It's about this area of service. And in that service, you might not always get to do quite what you want to do. You might not always meet with people working in the best spirit of things. When you're faced with this, at least initially, appearing to be a difficulty, alongside that you put the terms of the Christian faith that say, now you are free. And what do we get? If you are free, your only true Lord is Jesus, God, the Lord. If you are free to serve him, what about those who are our masters, the boss, the teacher, the client? How do we respond to them in the workplace? Well, Peter guides us here. He's not alone. Paul has this, says very similar things a number of times in his letters. But Peter guides us here. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Now his choice of words, servant and master, reminds us that there are slight differences in his settings from ours. But in what he has to say, he does set out outline principles for action. And he gives us reasons with universal significance, not only for his day, but also ours. And those reasons are based on the way that we come to that freedom that we might be particularly, ought to be particularly conscious of. He points us, he takes us back, he has an instruction to give us about how we live our daily lives. And very quickly, he takes us back to look at the mind and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are here today, on the Lord's Day, before we go back into our places of work, let's hear, let's absorb what Peter has to say. First of all, about consistent serving. Then about the call to suffer. And thirdly, about Christ suffering and serving. These three things as we follow through what he has to say from verse 18 to 25. Consistent serving, called to suffer, and Christ suffered and serves. So first then, consistent serving. This is the instruction. Be submissive. And goes on, that is the servant, the one who does serve. Be submissive. Let me just point you to Paul as well. He, in the words of Colossians chapter 3 from verse 22, he says, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Paul also has some things to say along these same lines. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about these things, in Timothy, in Titus, and also in the classic master-servant relationship of Philemon. Don't do your work just as man pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, do it as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. When you go to work tomorrow, or go to school later in the week, whatever you might be doing, it's not just you and the boss, or the servant and the master, or the teacher and the pupil. It's not just those two in the picture. The Lord is there too. That's what Peter means. Paul opened it out a little bit further, but that's what Peter means when he says, be submissive to your masters with all fear. It's not fear of the master, it's fearing God, because God is there. And that's apparent as you go on further, and you see that God has a concern about how we go about the way that we do our work. And that's where conscience comes in verse 19, because of conscience toward God. How is your conscience in the work that you do towards God? You might be perfectly able to justify your approach to work to your master and others. How's your conscience in this before God? In sincerity of heart, fearing God, Paul said. It is to remember that God is the one who put you there. You serve the Lord Christ. It's as much about serving him in daily life as it is about serving the master, the one who gives you the pay packet at the end of the month or week. And it's because of this, because God is there, because it is about serving God, because God has put you there. It's because of this that he says, serve, be submissive, whoever your master is, whatever character he shows, submit to the direction of your master, even to the good and gentle. No, that's not the way Peter says it, is it? He says, as well as to the good and gentle, obey the harsh. But isn't it worth putting it this way for a moment? Obey even the good and gentle. There's a spirit around us today, at least, and it probably was 2,000 years ago too, that if somebody is good and gentle who is your master, you could take advantage of him. He's not going to do anything to you. Paul dealt with that when he was writing to Timothy. He was talking about servants, you are brothers, and there are brothers who are your masters. In that same household, the master and the servant, you're both Christians. And Paul says through Timothy, he says, but servants, you be very careful. You don't take advantage of that master. He is still your master. And I have put you there as his servant. You don't presume upon him. So, whether your master is good and gentle or harsh, be submissive. And the overall picture that Peter is showing here is because you're serving the Lord, with fear of God, with a good conscience towards God, set the standard of your service high and flatline it there. You might talk about flatlining and we'd think of it just anywhere, mediocre. But no, it's the highest possible standard because you're serving the Lord. Don't give faulty service. We're all human. There are times perhaps we might commit a fault. If you do, be prepared to receive the beating he speaks about in verse 20. It's due. Bear it patiently. But it's the way it should be. But all the more, keep that level of service. Even when things are thankless, persist in your good work. Don't reject that master, even when it's thankless. It's here especially that your obedience to the authority of the Lord in your life will be seen. And it's what Paul was saying, that it's because you are serving the Lord, it's the Lord's reward that you should be looking to. He wraps it up with the eternal inheritance that we often speak of as we're tempted to speak of it as a purely spiritual thing. But it is related to how we go about our daily lives, how we live, how we work. Revelation makes it very plain that when we come before his judgment seat, he will judge according to our works, how we have lived our lives. Have we lived obediently, not only to our master, but through him, obedient to the Lord, who makes us a servant, because of our faith, because of our trust in his favour, the Lord's favour. And so we find the strength to persevere, even when we suffer. But Peter has more to say than simply saying, well, this is the way it should be. He says, because this is your calling. Not only should we be consistent in our service, the highest possible standard, faced with any kind of leadership or mastery, not only that, but it is because we are called to this. In verse 21, he has said in verse 20, at the second part, but when you do good and suffer for it, and the world rebels against this, the world rises up and says, how can this be? It's unjust. But if you do this and you take it patiently, you bear with it, this is commendable before God. For, because. How is it? Why is it commendable before God? Because you were called to it. That's what God calls you to. His people. You're called even to suffer. We'll look in a moment particularly at the Lord Jesus, because he sets him before us. You were called to this if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can therefore expect to suffer wrongfully. Most servants do at some point or other in their career. Paul has no illusions that our good service towards others will inevitably mean that we'll be treated kindly. Have you not had experiences at times where you've sought to be faithful, you've sought to be fulfilling your obligations, and it only seems to come back on you worse? Because that's not the world that we live in. People will try and escape. They'll get away from their obligations. And that's applauded, or it's permitted, at the very least. There are no illusions about this. Keep that high level of service, good service, and you can probably more likely expect to suffer, and it will be wrongful suffering. I couldn't help but think how often in literature the stories that are told of somebody who has been serving faithfully and doing a great job, and they only seem to come crashing down all too often. Why is it there in literature? Because it's true to life. That's where literature gets its stories from. So let's be ready for that. Peter doesn't hide anything. This is the reality in which we live. It was then, it is now. Be ready for it. Be ready for it in your thinking. In this way, let this be your guide as you will face it. Every one of us. What is the beginning of the guide? It's because you were called to this. Who calls you to it? The Lord calls you to it. He is the only one whose call we should be responding to. We must therefore see the Lord in every such situation. We must hear the Lord and his word, his promises, his strength, his spirit. Hear him and hear this call where you are. Hear that it is his call to you. He says, I want you here. You might not see the reasons for it at all in your lifetime. But he says, I want you here, here you must be. Whatever the conditions, whatever the difficulties might be, and whatever the joys might be, remember it is his calling. Don't be where he doesn't call you. But it is his calling to you. He calls you into everything that is involved in being there, including any injustice that might be inflicted upon you. It doesn't mean to say that if it's possible, if it's appropriate, you draw attention to the injustice. You can do that. You can set about working to change these things. Above all, to see how you can bring about change when you see others suffering injustice, other servants. Care for them. But first of all, settle this in your heart and mind. This is to be the overall, the guiding principle in how we think about our service amongst men. Verse 21 says, you're called to this. You are called to suffer wrongfully in your work. As long as you follow Christ, you must follow his example. The end of verse 21. He's left us an example to follow in his steps. As long as you follow him, as long as you say, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. One passing man said that to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, do you know what that means? Peter says, do you know what that means? It means you may have to suffer wrongfully, though you'd have done an excellent job at work. You might not get the credit for it. You might get the complete opposite. But as long as you follow Christ, you will go where he has gone in order to get where he has reached. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, we are fellow heirs with him, even to glory, if we also suffer with him. In all of this, in the middle of verse 20, Peter has used the word patiently. He said, what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. This wrongful suffering, bear it patiently. Do you remember what James said in chapter 1 of James? He tells us how you will fall into various trials. The testing of your faith produces patience. This does test your faith. How can this be? God's called me to this. How can this be that I might suffer wrongfully? But it tests your faith, and that produces patience. But listen, especially this. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And that's why he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because it's that work of patience. Bear it patiently, because it's completing you, it's making you perfect to be what you must be, what he would make you be. So we go out into our workplaces, go out into the places where God has called us. How can we do this? How can we be suffering even for good work? By remembering this is our calling. By trusting in God and his providing, his ruling, his guiding, his providing and governing all his creatures, you and me too. When it's really hard, is there a point when we come to say enough is enough? Some of you were not here, but we took a break from Peter, and just before I went away, two Sundays, I looked at Matthew chapter 18. From the point where Peter says to Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? I can keep count of that. And Jesus says, no, seven times 70. I can't keep count of 490 forgivenesses for one person. And he goes on to tell a parable. And he says, why this should be? Why should I go on forgiving? Why should I never come to the point of saying enough is enough? Because of what I've been forgiven. Because of how I have been served, I must go on serving. Is there ever a point when we can say enough is enough? Well, perhaps if you can keep count to eternity, infinity, yes. Because that's the intention. When can I say enough is enough, either for forgiveness or for serving? Think, ask yourself, when has God ever said that to me? He hasn't. Never. Unless I will not serve him. And the proof of that is in what Jesus has done. The third thing, the most wonderful thing, that Christ suffered and serves. He brings us back here. He brings us back again and again. Why should you forsake the empty ways of your fathers? Because Christ has died. We're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Why should I serve? Why should I suffer in my serving? Because he did for me. This is why it is so important, why Peter says here in this letter, and the first, virtually the first couple of chapters, why he also says it in the second letter, he says, I'm going to keep on reminding you, and I'm going to put things in place that will keep on reminding you, because you have to remember this. You have to remember what Jesus has done. Because that makes a difference when you go out on Monday to work. This is why it is so, so important to keep coming back here, to keep coming and saying, yes, God is love. Keep saying, I'm not my own. I'm a debtor. I'm under obligation. Again in Romans chapter 8. Not to this world. It's done nothing for me. But I'm under debt. I'm under obligation. Because of what Christ has done for me. There is one thing that has happened in this world that can make a difference. Let's go back there. It's theology. Be theologians. Well, in fact, all of us are theologians. It's whether it's good or bad. Where's your theology? Because there is no change to anything if it were not for this. Remember Jesus, who suffered and died. This is the gospel in a capsule. Remember him? Peter reminds us of the key things in regard to how we go about our daily work. Relating to those who order us about, gentle or harsh. Remember what Jesus did. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. When he was dying, he said, Father, forgive them. And remember, as Peter reminds us, his death was for us. In verse 24, he bore our sins, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And he calls me to serve another. Peter tells us that this is an example, verse 21, to follow in his steps. That's the example he's left for us. It gives us the reason for the call that Peter sets before us, to submit to your masters, whoever they might be. When you are at work, you see something that's wrong. you perhaps have mistreated yourself. You know that's wrong. You know it because you've been studying to be holy yourself, to live well, to live right and true. The urge is therefore to resist and to correct. Otherwise, Peter would not need to say this. But that's the urge that everyone has. But Peter says that's wrong. You've been put where you are by the Lord. Our Lord finds it commendable to submit, even if it's harsh, because the Lord finds that commendable, because he found it commendable what his Son did. Jesus Christ submitted to God's will, and he did it by submitting to sinful men who treated him in this way, who reviled him. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, we confessed. He suffered the curse, his body on the tree. He was under stripes for our healing, by sinful men, because it was his calling from his loving Heavenly Father. And in the muddle of our work situations, he expects us to first recall what he has done and where he has called us from, rescued us from. Verse 25, you were like sheep going astray. Is your master like a sheep or a wolf or a bear that's going astray, doing wild things, taking no restraint? Well, you were like a sheep. I was like a sheep going astray. Just as bad. I wouldn't take direction, I wouldn't take rebuke, I wouldn't listen to his voice. But because of what he has done, you've returned to him. You have a great overseer of your soul. That man doesn't. Do our masters mistreat us? Jesus said in the Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. It's a cliche, isn't it? But it means something. There, but for the grace of God, go I. You were like sheep going astray. Why are you not that sheep going astray anymore? Have you done something to make it possible? No, it's by his suffering, his serving. And so if we follow his example, maybe even our gracious patience is God's chosen instrument in that setting to bring about change. There's nothing like it out there otherwise. Remember, as Jesus did die on the cross, he was reviled by one man on one side. He didn't revile in return, and the man on the other side found hope. Immediate evidence. This was in Peter's mind in the introduction, which we read, verses 11 and 12. In verse 12 he says, having your conduct honourable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that wrongful judgment, when they do that, they may, by your good works which they observe, come to glorify God in the day of visitation. They will come to the place of change and glorify God. Now Peter teaches us, this is what you must do, this is the example you have, this is the reason you have for it. And that reason he develops as we follow the Lord Jesus, that we have the same mind that he had, not threatening when we suffer. Why is it? How did Jesus manage to do that? We can do it for the same reason. We can, we must. Verse 23, committing ourselves to him who judges righteously. The same as it is with forgiving the brother endlessly if he sins against you, because it's in God's hands and he does judge righteously, which I can't do and nor can you. Every one of us is in God's hands, How is it that he calls us to serve him through serving a harsh, an unrighteous master? Because the unrighteous master is in his hands too. That's the calling. That's how God works out his callings. Now, folks, time is gone. Although we were quite late starting, remember? But when we come to looking to respond to difficult bosses, it is a difficult one. But here are some principles. Here are some things that we put in place first. Get them settled first. And see the rest build on that. It is a difficult one. More difficult if we don't. But show grace in speech. Work for just treatment for everyone, not just yourself, especially others. Work for these things. There's so many cases through history where masters have presumed to treat slaves and servants as their own property, treated very harshly. It is good to see the changes that have taken place through history. Work for the good treatment of other servants. But Peter is saying all the time, be ready to bear with harsh treatment towards yourself. With humility, with kindness, with grace. All things that Jesus did towards those who treated him so spitefully. But with confidence too. Let it be confidence in the Lord. Commit yourself to him who judges righteously. These things will soon be passed. But be on that path towards the reward of the inheritance. Have your confidence in the Lord. And respond also with thankfulness. As Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, in everything with thankfulness. With thankfulness, because you were like a sheep going astray, but you've been returned. You've been returned. He went and got you and brought you. He has found you and he keeps you. He is the overseer of your soul. Respond with that in mind. And for that reason also pray. Pray for your soul, for your own heart. Not to be torn away by those pressures of the work situation. And pray too for your boss. For your master, for your teacher. Let me close there.